It's time to tune up your taste buds and take a trip to culinary heaven, because we're live from Jasper's Kitchen, presented by Hen House. Sit back, relax, and enjoy something new from the wonderful world of delicious cooking with our favorite chef, Jasper Marabli, and his co-host, food journalist, Kimberly Stern. And now, here's the godfather of Italian cooking, Chef J-Man and Toots.
Oh, my favorite.
Hey, this is Jasper.
And Kimberly.
We are live at the Hen House Market in Corinth. And Kimberly, welcome back.
Well, no, you welcome back, Jay. You've been with baby Alex.
I've been with the baby, and she's back. She's on the way home right now. Comes home at 12 o'clock. Lisa's picking her up.
But she's not here until the wedding in June.
Yes. Well, right. No, yeah. She's a teacher. She has to go. This is just spring break.
Spring break.
You're the only kid who keeps working and gets a spring break, too, you know, for a week. So what a great show we have planned today, Kimberly.
We have an incredible show. We've got a two-part interview with Michael Stern of Road Food.
My favorite.
If you followed him for years, he and Jane wrote a column in a very famous food magazine. And now, of course, he's got the Road Food franchise.
Oh, unbelievable.
And we're also going to be talking to Joan Adam and Stephanie from Historic Kansas City about legacy bars and restaurants in Kansas City, of which Jasper's is one.
And they hosted a party in my bar a few
months ago.
Well, Kimberly, it's a great weekend to be out and about. The weather is finally back to where it should be in spring.
It's Kansas City spring. Well, thank you for sharing that,
Well,
Jasper.
Of course. I was talking to Bill Esch, and I said, Bill, I hope you put some BOGOs in the ad this week for Kimberly.
Front and center, and oh my gosh, he did. Thank you, David Ball. Sea bass cook, peeled, and divine shrimp. Buy one, get one free.
I was just over, I was in Mayport in Florida, and I'm telling you, I told the seafood steward here, I said, these are the closest I've ever had to Mayport shrimp. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
I think Mayport shrimp are just like Sicilian shrimp. And they're beautiful red shrimp. They're full of flavor. They're not like those frozen, you know, some of those shrimp you get, they're icy and they're
pretend shrimp.
Exactly. Pretend like those little ones you put in the aquarium, you know, to feed the frogs with or something.
Did you have an aquarium when you were young?
Oh, did I have an aquarium?
Okay, we'll talk about
we couldn't
that
keep
later.
The fish in there because my brother Sam, you know, they.
Well, that's a whole nother
show.
Yeah,
exactly. And, of course, there's specials here all throughout the store. T-bone steaks, only $7.99 a pound. Those are fork tender.
What a deal. Super lean ground beef. Of course, grilling season. It's
grilling season. It is.
Let's face
it. Really
it
is.
Craig
it is.
Jones, the grill mayor. You can grill every single day of the year, no matter what kind of weather,
that's
right?
That's right. And his reverse sear on one of those steaks, that's the only way I do mine now, seriously.
Yeah.
And Kimberly, you know, I mean, St. Patrick's Day was yesterday, a lot of corned beef and cabbage.
Lots.
But it's still on sale right now. Boyle's corned beef, $3.99 a pound.
That's your favorite.
Oh, yeah. And oysters aplenty right now.
And you've been eating oysters, your share of oysters, the past week.
Yeah, I love the Gulf oysters, all the oysters. Mm-hmm. And I did an oyster po' boy for the Hen House Market. The recipe's in the flyer this week. You can go online to henhouse.com. Oysters and a little bit of cornmeal, some Old Bay seasoning. But I do a little remoulade sauce, and I put it on some of that farm-to-market bread.
Ooh, yum. And, of course, I've got to go to the Tippins Pie, which the French silk pie went green for St. Patrick's
Day. How about
that?
I like it.
And it's only $10. What a deal for French silk, right?
Speaking of going green, I made some green cannolis yesterday.
That's right. People loved them.
Shorty smashed up some Girl Scout cookies. They were very good. They were very, very tasty. A little coffee for you, my lady.
Oh, well, thank you. And it's in a green cup.
How about that?
And you're drinking a green drink. Look at us.
I'm drinking my green tea matcha, which is only 80 calories with coconut milk and non-fat milk. Coconut milk.
Yeah.
And no, what do you call that, sweeter? You know, the no sugar. What do you call that? No calories, sugar.
Yeah, no calories, sugar.
You know what I'm talking about, lady.
Splenda.
Splenda.
Yeah.
It's a splendid day tomorrow. We're celebrating, Kimberly.
That's right. St. Joseph table.
Can you say San Giuseppe?
San Giuseppe.
Hey, beautiful,
I've been
beautiful.
Hanging around you for years.
I like that. You know what? We're going to be down the Holy Rosary. Mm-hmm. Gloria Pizzichino and all the Italian ladies do such a beautiful job down there.
And where is that?
It's on down on 50 Minnesota in the old North End.
Yeah.
Right down the street from the North End restaurant.
Lots of history. Lots of history.
And it's a beautiful table. I'm going to stop in and see Pete Mesh tomorrow. Got to get him on the show.
And explain the purpose of the St. Joseph table.
The whole idea is because of the famine in Sicily during the 15th, 16th century. So the Italians decided, you know, the Sicilians, that we would pray to St. Joseph, San Giuseppe, to get back, you know, the food, to get back the people, to give them, you know, so there'd be farming and everything. And when they prayed to St. Joseph and everything, the crops started coming back again. They decided to have this big table of tribute, the tavola. And they put Italian breadcrumbs on the pasta. There's a significance because St. Joseph was a carpenter.
Okay, so, it looks so like sawdust.
Yeah, and did you see yesterday?
In New Orleans?
Yeah.
Yes.
500 pounds of pasta.
Amazing. The guy that was throwing the...
That was Mr. Greco from Brooklyn. Okay. I know him very well. We'll get him on the show sometime.
That would be fun.
I'll send you the contact, lady.
Please.
But
please
a lot
do.
Going on around Kansas City this weekend,
a
too.
A ton.
I'm thinking Girl Scout cookies and wine at KC Wine Company.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing.
It's a thing. I grab your coffee.
It's a thing. Me. Please keep your hands off my coffee. And what about Olive Tree?
Mm.
What's going on over at Mindy Riley's
I have my
place?
Easter celebration coming up.
Yeah.
But next week it's all about meat. Mm. And our friend from the charcuterie down in... it's not payola. Where's that? You know, down by Fort Scott area? Boy, I messed up this
Oh, the meat
now.
Shed?
The meat shed.
Yeah.
He's going to be there with a charcuterie.
Fabulous.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
And what day is that?
That's next Saturday. Next Sunday. I'm going to be there.
On Sunday?
Yep. I'll be kissing babies and signing autographs for you if you want. Running for mayor.
Okay. Mayor of what, Jasper?
Well,
mayor
Leawood,
of...
but I would not never go against my friend in Leawood, so I'm holding off.
Okay, there you go.
Never.
Well, if Craig Johns is the mayor, the grill mayor. You
yes,
could
he
be
is.
Either the meatball mayor or the pasta mayor or. Of course, you're the king of cannoli, so there are lots of platforms on which
Mayor
you can
McCheese.
Run.
Mayor McCheese. Remember that when you were a kid at McDonald's? Bring him back.
Let's go back to that Girl Scout cookie and wine pairing.
Oh, that sounds
interesting
good.
Results. They've got a wine flight available for $5 each Saturday and Sunday.
I'm thinking
noon to 5.
Thin mints and Cabernet.
Mm.
What do you think?
Yum. What about peanut butter patties?
I knew it was coming up. I knew
and
Leonard
it.
With the peanut butter. I knew that was coming up.
I'm a peanut butter freak.
Probably peanut butter and Chardonnay. We'll have to ask Doug Frost on that one.
It always has to be Skippy, though. And Sunday, tomorrow, Fondue Fairy Tale, Beauty
Ooh.
And the Feast. Not the Beast.
Alex saw Beauty and the Beast last night, but Beauty
Did
and the
she?
Feast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And it's at the Melting Pot. I love the Melting Pot.
I got to get back down there.
Yeah.
I haven't been there
Very
for a while.
Very cool. Well, we do have a great show. Lined up today, Jasper?
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. Cafe Provence, right around the corner.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Well, I'm sorry. I'm really messed up. It's today, Made in France. The market's going on.
9:30 a.m.
Yeah,
until
the market
7
right,
tonight.
Yeah, in Prairie, I say right around the corner, but in Prairie Village.
And it's so much fun to explore that whole area.
Patrick, what they do over there is something else. If you want friends
I love
to
Patrick.
Go. Picnic, this is the time.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Really is something else.
Picnic weather.
That's right. Get them on the show.
Okay.
You like? You should see this poor lady takes my emails. And just get them on the show, Kim. Get them on the show. What are you pointing your finger at? We got to get out of here, don't we?
We do.
We're over, aren't we?
Let's close up.
Over and out. This is Jasper Miraboli.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're coming back with a great show celebrating San Giuseppe, road food, and Kansas City legacy bars and restaurants. Kimberly, I tell everybody every week, don't go nowhere, my friends. This is Jasper Miraboli.
And Kimberly Stern.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen, celebrating 11 years right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
That's Miraboli.
I love that music.
I figured you would. I had you in mind.
That's Amore, Miss Kimberly. Welcome back to Live from Jasper's Kitchen.
Well, hey, Jasper.
Well, Kimberly, we're waiting to give the big secret word. People are lined up outside to find out the secret word. They've been listening to the radio.
That's right. And what is the secret word?
Well, it's two words.
Okay. What is it?
It's a person.
All right.
It's plural. No, it's not plural. How can it be plural? It's a noun. It's a person. San Giuseppe.
And you have to say it like that.
San Giuseppe. If you come in and say St. Joseph, we'll give you like maybe a $5 coupon or something.
There you go.
But we're giving Tippins pies away and gift certificates. All you have to do is come to the Henhouse Market in Corinth and say San Giuseppe.
And I'm not sure if we were on when I was like admonishing you about the time we need to switch over to the interview.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, sorry. I have to keep you in line, Jasper.
Well, I'm looking. I know what time. We're going to be out at 11:20 and...
21.
Let me put my glasses on here. This is Jasper Miraboli.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live at the Henhouse Market in Corinth celebrating San Giuseppe weekend. A great radio show you have planned today, Kimberly.
Absolutely. We are going to be listening to Joan, Adam, and Stephanie from Historic Kansas City next. Ooh. And then Michael Stern, a two-parter, road food.
Look what they brought us over from the seafood. Look what the seafood steward brought us, some Mayfair shrimp. Well, I call them Mayfair shrimp.
Yeah. You love those. And, of course, it goes right along with your recipe, your hen house recipe.
Come on over here down to the hen house market. All 11 hen house markets, of course. And you can get some of the best meats, the local chicken.
Bestest.
The finest seafood flown in daily. And I'm telling you, it's fresh. Never frozen. That's the best kind of seafood to have, Kimberly.
And you know, we are rolling right up to the time when Hen House starts signing up CSA members.
Oh, that's right.
Which it's going to be an exciting CSA. We talked, of course, with Diana Endicott a couple of weeks ago. We'll be talking about that.
You know, we were starting with spring, and all of a sudden the snow last weekend, which
it
I wasn't
winter.
Here.
Yeah, I know.
But now it's back, I think.
Yeah, and it feels good.
No more cold water.
No.
I'm done. It was in Florida. They said, welcome to winter. We had a 40-degree night one night. Alex had to put the heat on.
Well, my friend Chris Homily and her husband
Scott, who
always listen, of course, they were in Destin, and she showed a picture of herself on the beach with her boots on.
You saw my niece Chrissy. She was in Alabama at the Gulf Shores, and they said, forget it. They drove to Palm Beach.
That's where she was. It's
something else. Everybody with spring break right now.
In Destin, yeah.
Oh, well, it's a great time to be in Kansas City, of course. We have a great interview coming up. But right now, Kimberly, I want to mention one other event coming up.
Yeah.
My supper club, I always do every month. You know, I have two in April. I have a beer supper club on April 24th.
You were on KSHB the other day. Very nice.
Green Flash Beer. Oh, my
beer
gosh.
Beer braised pork shanks.
You. But also, I have my friend coming in from Banffy. We call him Billy Banffy. Bill Whiting will be in Kansas City. So we have to talk a little bit about that.
Great wine dinner.
Yeah, it's going to be April 18th. So you can call the restaurant and sign up right now. I'll have the menu and all the details coming out.
Cool.
But right now, we're going to talk about legacy bars and restaurants. How about it?
That's right.
And let's go ahead and discuss this with our new friend who I met at the restaurant. A great interview right here on KCMO. Take it away, Mark.
For generations, Kansas City has been home to a thriving landscape of neighborhood bars, restaurants, and cafes that play an essential role in our sense of place and community. This is Jasper Morabli, and today's guest, Legacy Bars and Restaurants. I have in the studio with me my good friends, Lauren Manning and Joan Adam. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, this is really something because I was lucky enough to be a part, well, not me personally, but Jasper's restaurant, because we are an older establishment, 63 years old now, and that's how I found out about you all, and I said, hey, you got to come into the show and let's talk about this, because a lot of history in Kansas City, and now it's kind of like a, how do I have to say it? If Kimberly was here, I would say a resurgence, but a nice shot in the arm going on about, you don't want to say vintage, though, do we?
No. Legacy.
There you go. Legacy. So tell me, how did this all come about?
Well, it started, the Legacy Bar started when the Golden Ox closed down. It was a lot of, a shock throughout the city that a restaurant that had been around for so long was struggling. And so we got together and decided that we're going to find those bars that have been open for a few decades. We hadn't had a figure of number yet at the time, but we decided on 35 years or longer. And those bars, and we go and visit them once a month. And it just brings more people back. It opens up the knowledge that they're out there for younger people. And a lot of our group is retired people who come and reminisce. So it's been really successful.
And there's a lot of young preservationists here in Kansas. A lot of people who are...
Sure.
I mean, it's great to have the young people. My daughter's the same way. You know, of course, we have all the newer places and you know, some of the slick places. I don't know if I told you this the night you were at the restaurant. Did you do something at the ship yet?
We're working on that one. That one is coming up.
Okay, because my father owned the original ship downtown.
Oh, I didn't realize.
So it's even on their website.
We
they put it on there. And then a few years ago, they were kind of like underground. They moved to a new location. Didn't tell anybody. They found all this old bar and everything down in the bottoms. And somebody just started to put the ship back together. And they kind of did it without anybody knowing about it. And they would send out an email and say, the ship is sailing on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. So no one knew what was going on. And they'd have PBR for, you know, a dollar a can and things like that. I went there over Thanksgiving break with my daughter, some friends, my wife. And I pull up. There's limos outside. There's at least 50 people in the streets. You couldn't get near the door. The bar was packed. I looked at my wife. I said, look at these kids. And I can say kids because I'm 54 years old. I said, look at this. This is something else. They get it now. They want, you know, you got all the other bars and the hot places
sure.
with the ice bars and the lights and all the new fancy, you know, things. But come on.
Sure.
This is something else. Go back in time a little bit. Speakeasies,
yeah.
perhaps.
Sure. I mean, it's a very popular kind of new category as places to go out anymore. Visit older bars and a bar that's kind of dark and quiet, you know, sometimes even.
The Phillips House just redid the restaurant and bar.
Yeah,
and $20 million renovation of the whole hotel. And they took us on a tour last week down in the basement to the speakeasy.
Yeah, we did a tour of that last month.
So how about the door? How you get into the place?
Yeah,
you
go
through
awesome.
The front desk area, just a hidden door.
Yeah, that was an old door that was dark in a weird closet.
Yeah, come
and
on.
Teresa with the hotel said she was always kind of scared of it. And now they took it off, moved it to the speakeasy, painted it. She said it's her favorite part of the place now.
So let's talk about this every month, what goes on. It's the last Thursday of every month. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you just kind of set up shop in the bar.
We do. We always call ahead, of course, and make a reservation for around. Ask that the owner or a manager or a longtime regular even come and talk about the history. And it's been extremely successful.
And to get the word out, to let people know what's going on, you actually have not only email list, but you put it out social media-wise and everything.
We do a lot of social media. That's where we get a lot of our followers.
And our listeners right now, they could get more information, rather, by going to historickansascity.org and just go to Historic Legacy Bars and Restaurants.
Sure. We're a subgroup, Historic Kansas City, the Young Preservationists. We have our own page as well, and that's where we post a lot of the events as well. We share them on the main pages also.
Well, let's talk with Joan Adams. Joan, welcome again.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the historical Kansas City, because, you know, Kansas City, it's back. It's hot from downtown in the stockyards all the way out south to some famous places such as Justin Jim's.
Right.
I mean, people, it's a buzz right now. And I'm not just picking restaurants as my sense of focus here on the show today.
No, Kansas City has a lot of wonderful history, a lot of wonderful buildings. So the mission of Historic Kansas City is really to try to increase the appreciation for those, and we do that through education, which, as Lauren was saying, Legacy Bars has been a very popular one because it's really fun for people to come to. We do tours. Recently, we did a tour of the Phillips House for our Urban Explorers tours, which are open to members. And then we do other tours that are around the city, different sections of the city that we have at least once a month. So all of those you can find out about on our website.
And we talk about arts in Kansas City, you know, and how about the old theaters?
Right.
I mean, there's so much. If you think about it, you drive down. Myself, on my day off or a Sunday, maybe I'm getting old. I don't know. But I like to take a drive and just stare at the old buildings and look what's going on where, you know, who knew, you know, Charles Schulz, you know, where he started off the old the peanut strip, you know, was his first peanut strip where it was written at. Hallmark cards.
Right.
You know. You think about these things and what actually went on, and you go back and you look at the building. I get kind of a sense of, wow, you know, we're always looking for places to go and, oh, let's go here, let's go there. It's in our own backyard. Who knew?
Right.
You know?
We're fortunate several of those great old theaters are being rehabilitated and going to be used again, so along Main Street. So, you know, I think people have come to appreciate how much character those buildings have and what they mean to people. So it's a big plus for the city, I think.
Any involvement with Union Station?
We've had a lot of, back when it was renovated, our group was very involved, and we still have several members of our board who serve on the advisory committee for Union Station. So when they make changes at whatever, that goes through that group.
Because, I mean, what a resurgence we have with our Union Station in Kansas City. And every holiday now, the Union Station is, you know, it's the go-to place. And just like around the country, St. Louis, New York, Baltimore, doesn't matter where you're at. The Union Station used to be a gathering place for everybody to go to, kind of like if we're in Europe, the piazza, you know, you're in your little neighborhood. But that's what it's all about. And to go back and just look at the walls.
Right.
To go and look at, I'm in the kind of like Harvey restaurants and the old, and look at all the old plates and all the history they have down there. And they even have the old forks and knives and the old menus lined up against the wall with pier pontes. Yeah. That's great for a historic, you know, historic buff. Like, I like that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, I'm into it. Well, I get into it. My wife, come on, Jay, we got to get going now. It's time to move on.
Yeah. Sounds familiar.
But, so, when I look at that building, I think, I mean, it came so close to being demolished.
Exactly,
And what would we...
It was almost lost.
We would be totally...
They were going to turn into a casino or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
That,
Well, my friends, thanks for coming in today. Make sure you check them out. It's historickansascity.org. And, of course, following with the bars and once a month. That's really cool. That's something else that you guys are involved with that and want to bring it back. Make sure you check them out. This is Jasper Morabile, live from Jasper's Kitchen, celebrating 11 years right here on KCMO, Kansas City's Talk Radio 103.7 FM AM 710.
It is a Jasper.
And Kimberly.
Looks like we're on the road again, Miss Kimberly.
We are. We love road trips, Jay.
That's right. And we have a great interview coming up. But right now, Kimberly, people are standing around here waiting for their gift certificates.
That's right. The secret word, secret
words.
Phrase.
We're giving too many Tippins pies away. Mark Borer just sent me a text that says, slow down on the pies. Everybody knows St. Joseph.
San Giuseppe.
San Giuseppe. But come on by right now. Say the secret word here at the Corinth Hen House. And you can win a Tippins pie or a $25 gift certificate. How about that, Miss Kimberly?
That's right. We're giving away the good stuff today,
That's
Jasper.
That's right. Well, come on over right now. And also, Hen House Markets, your local market since 1923. So many specials every week. The finest local chicken, Hereford beef, and, of course, the freshest, most excellent seafood you'll
most
ever have.
Most excellent. I love it. And, you know, I'm getting excited because, of course, I'm going to sign up for the CSA again. And I love the CSA.
You know, Diane Nedcott told us about so many different locals. I didn't realize everything that was so local here.
Yeah,
really. I asked her about some fruit. I wanted to grow local water, pineapples. I sent her the
photo. In your yard?
My friend grows local pineapples. Okay. You weren't even listening to the interview 2 weeks ago, Kim. I was asking her to grow local pineapples.
Oh, I do remember that,
Jay. Yeah, so I sent her the photo of my friend who grows.
That's right. Local pineapples.
You know what, Kimberly? It's time to get on the road again, and we're going to have a great interview. I love these people. I mean, come on. This guy is legendary.
He is legendary. Michael Stern. And we're going to talk about good eats across the USA.
Hey, you know what, Mark? You know what, Kimberly? I'll tell you, when we were doing the interview with him, I had a question about some Italian restaurants. I need to ask him again, so I promise to get him back on. But this is going to be a long interview, so take it away, Mark, back in the studio.
You know, Jasper, I'm going to start the show off this morning. You usually do, but I'm going to.
Well,
is that okay?
Kimberly, you know what? It's all about food, so I think I know where we're going with this, though.
We are so very lucky to have Michael Stern on the phone with us again this morning. We've interviewed him several times. He, of course, has the Road Food website, Road Food Books. He wrote for Bon Appetit for years. Is that right, Michael?
Gourmet magazine.
For years. A wonderful column. And I'm obsessed with this man and where he goes to eat around the country. And I think he posted something about pies.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when you said, Kimberly, it's time to get Mr. Stern on the show
that's
again.
That's right. Well, my friend, welcome back to the show. I mean, come on. I was telling Kimberly earlier, I even have your bookmark on my iPhone. It looks like my own app, my road food app. When people ask me, like, they're going out of town, they're on the road. Here, let me tell you where to go. So, really
that's
something else.
That's the whole point. That's the point of road food. If you're going somewhere, road food will tell you where to get a taste of where you're going.
How'd this all start? How many years ago with road food?
Oh, my gosh. Before either of you two were born, I'm pretty sure. The first edition of Road Food, the book, came out before there was an internet in 1977. And in fact, the 10th edition of the book, the latest one, is coming out in like next week. March 7th is going to be the publication date for the newest edition. But we've been doing this for over 40 years.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
How many places do you think you've eaten at over those decades? Any idea?
Oh, my gosh. We once tried to sort of do a rough calculation. We figured when we're traveling, you know, I mean, on a good day, we might go to 6 or 7 or 8 restaurants. I mean, obviously, we don't do that 365 days a year. But, I mean, I'm thinking we have to have had over 100,000 meals.
Wow.
But there's who – and, you know, the other thing is, I mean – when I say we go to 6 or 7 restaurants in a day when we're doing research, that doesn't mean we sit down to 6 or 7 full soup to nuts meals. I mean, a lot of places we'll sit down and, you know, get a taste of the cheeseburger and think, you know, well, really, do we want to waste any appetite on this? And we'll go on to some other place, you know. So, you know, it's a tough job because we have to eat so much. You know, no one feels sorry for me, but believe me, it's very difficult.
Well, you know, I judge pie contests. I've judged at the Iowa State Fair. I judged the First Lady's Pie Contest in Missouri. And I've learned now how you pace yourself. But
it's tough.
It's very tough.
I haven't learned. I'll tell you all right now. I never learned. Seriously, I don't know how you do it.
No, it really is difficult. Because, I mean, let's say we're in New Mexico. You know, and we're eating around New Mexico, and it's like 9 in the morning. And we come across this like fantastic green chili omelet that is maybe the most delicious omelet we've had in the last 5 years. It's our duty, you know, to have like just
there you
a couple
go.
Or three bites of it to preserve appetite for the next 4 or 5 meals we're going to have. It is sort of an issue, you know.
Do you think, on the whole, American food is getting better or worse? I mean, on the road.
Absolutely better. You know, if you had asked me that question when the first edition of Road Food came out, like, or even, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I would have said, I don't know. I think it's getting worse. You know, my prediction would have been back then that it's all going to be either, you know, just really bad fast food or very deluxe upscale food. But in fact, what's happened over the last maybe 20 or 30 years is that we Americans have really come to appreciate, you know, our kind of everyday food. I mean, the food that isn't a big deal. I mean, barbecue and fried chicken and, you know, clam rolls in New England and chowder on the Pacific Northwest, all those kind of what you might say are, quote, ordinary foods. I think we Americans have come to appreciate them, and I think restaurateurs have come to, like, sort of really pay more attention to them. And you see a lot of even new restaurants opening up, you know, like young restaurateurs who really want to do something special, and they're not necessarily cooking some really exotic, far-flung food. They might be cooking, you know, Nashville hot chicken or, you know, St. Louis ribs. And I think in that sense, I think the food that is available to travelers has gotten way better over the years. I mean, sure, there's all kinds of junk food out there, and you can eat horribly if you want to. But in fact, it doesn't take that much effort to go a little bit out of your way and find, you know, really memorable meals that do give you a taste of where you happen to be traveling.
You know, I think I agree with you, Michael. I love to do road trips, and I did an epic road trip last summer, a 4,000-mile road trip. And the key to a good road trip is getting off the interstate and going the back roads and going through all those little towns where there are still diners and there's still little coffee shops and soda fountains and things where you can really find really good regional home cooking. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, for me, it's even beyond finding really good home cooking and local specialties. Like you won't find somewhere else. You're sitting down elbow to elbow with the people of a community in a small town cafe or a diner or something, and you know you're really in a very literal and as well as kind of a general sense, really getting a taste of the country in a way that you don't get if you just go to a franchise restaurant that is going to be the same everywhere.
Let's talk about your road food map, because it's a great, you know, source. If you get on the computer, if you're in the car driving, you just put in where you're at and you find the location, and wow, you know, those little drops start popping up, and I start getting hungry, Kim.
Well, Jasper, you really do use it like an app, because that's what, you know, it's been recently, it was redesigned to make it very user-friendly for a mobile device. And that's the primary way that we hope people are going to use road food. You know, they're traveling somewhere, they don't know where to eat. And, you know, if you have a device that, you know, it will give your nose that knows where you are, all you have to do is look at the map and it will tell you what road food restaurants are near you, and then you can click on them and see what their specialties are and see pictures of what you want to eat there. So ideally it's going to be a very helpful tool for a hungry traveler.
Oh, there's no doubt. I know when we first started driving through Kansas to go skiing, you discovered a Brookville Diner many years ago. Brookville Hotel, rather. And I've been going there every year talking about Cozy Inn, you know, for the cheeseburgers. I can't say cheeseburger. They don't put cheese on them, only hamburgers only.
No, they'll kick you out of here.
They did, exactly.
And we've had him on the show a couple of times, too. But, yeah, people leave the interstate in droves to go there. And, Jasper, I know the exact time you pull into Brookville.
Oh, that's right. You have them all down?
I've got it down. Okay, let's talk about barbecue, Michael.
Yeah.
Because, and, you know, we'll talk about that in the next segment because, of course, we've got two segments with you. We're so excited. But next segment, we'll talk about the different styles of American barbecue.
Because
I hope this next segment is like about 30 hours long. There are so many different styles.
It's funny because I just put in on my iPhone, Kim, Kansas on the map, and what comes up but Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.
There you go. We'll talk barbecue when we come back with Michael Stern of Road Food.
This is Jasper Morabile.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're talking road food right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
So, Michael, on the last segment, we ended by saying we're going to be talking about regional styles, different styles of American barbecue. And you said, I hope you have 30 hours to talk. We don't have that long. So we'd love the abbreviated version of your road food perspective.
Well, it's really just, I mean, a person could spend a lifetime, several lifetimes really researching it. Because what's so interesting is there are some very basic differences to some degree. I mean, in much of the Deep South, we're talking about pork. In much of the Southwest and into some of the Midwest, you're talking more beef. In Western Kentucky, the barbecue meat of choice tends to be mutton, you know, kind of lamb, although you can get pork there as well. But that's just the beginning. I mean, sort of what you then do with it, you know, what kind of coals do you use to cook it? And then what do you serve it with? Do you serve it with Brunswick stew? Do you serve it with hash on rice? Do you serve it with hush puppies? Do you serve it with French fries? I mean, you know, and then what kind of sauce, if any? I mean, there are many parts of the country, much of Texas, in fact, where they don't even want to hear about sauce. I mean, it's all about the beef, and the beef needs to be juicy enough that you don't even want sauce. On the other hand, throughout much of Tennessee and a lot of the Midwestern cities, I mean, sauce is a hugely important part of barbecue. I mean, so much so that in some of the best sauce places, I mean, I'd be happy just eating white bread dipped in the sauce because the sauce is so darn good, you know. But, you know, I recently moved to South Carolina, and even within a state like South Carolina, from the north to the south to the east to the west, there are subtle differences. And we have mustard sauce in the center of the state. Going out more towards the west, we have sort of a more tomato sauce. So, I mean, the varieties are literally endless, county to county, town to town, state to state. And what's so great is that each one, you know, has kind of a whole history to it. I mean, it's really not just something to eat. It's really part of people's culture.
Okay, for yourself, when you're testing barbecue, and it's got to be a great job going across the country like this, do you just take it without the sauce?
Well, it depends. I mean, I would usually, in almost every case, I would try to taste the meat itself without the sauce. But in some parts of the country, I'm thinking of, like, say, in Memphis, that would really be wrong because, I mean, the sauce is such a fundamental part of the flavor of the barbecue. You know, that, yes, I would want to taste the meat just to taste the meat, but it would be wrong to kind of judge it, you know, or say how good it is without also adding the sauce because the sauce, you know, is so important. So it really depends on where you are, I think, as to how important the sauce is.
And have you been to Jones Barbecue in Marianna, Arkansas?
No, I haven't.
He won a James Beard Award back in 2012. It's just a little house. There are maybe three tables inside, but the line outside, people mostly do to go. And it is the most humble little barbecue diner I've ever been in. But, oh, my gosh. And you talk about the history. You go back and he... I think that fire's been going back there for probably 60 years. So.
Wow. Well, Michael, let's talk a little bit about what's going on across the country other than barbecue. I mean, what else could – I mean, the hot dogs are hot, of course, all the time, you know, and different types of sandwiches. But what are – if you're going to do a road trip and you just want to key on one thing, let's say I'm on a donut road trip, what's big right now?
Well, I think one of the really interesting things that's happened – really, in the last maybe 4, 5, 6 years, is the prevalence of what's called Nashville hot chicken. Mm. I mean, you know, fried chicken is everywhere, needless to say, but that style of chicken that used to be unique to Nashville is now in a lot of places around the country. Even some of the KFCs around here are serving their version of Nashville hot chicken. And I think in some ways, the prominence of Nashville hot chicken, which has all the goodness of good fried chicken plus that jolt of spice, reflects something that's happening in the American diet in general, I mean, I think as a general rule, we as a nation have gotten to like spicier food much more than we ever used to. And it's not unusual to find, you know, if there's chili on the menu, that it's going to be pretty darn hot, you know, and you know, Nashville hot chicken and, you know, kind of spicy gumbos and jambalayas. I mean, I think we as a nation have developed a much much more of an interest in really spicy food. And I think that makes traveling all the more fun. That is, if you like spicy food.
So we've got just about a minute to wrap up here. Michael, what state do you think has the most distinct cuisine out of all the states? Is that a tough one?
I would have to, I mean, it would be a tie. I would have to say it would be a tie between Louisiana and New Mexico. I mean, every state has its unique dishes and has its own personality, but people in Louisiana and people in New Mexico are really into having a state cuisine. You know, in New Mexico, the state vegetable is the chili pepper. And, you know, throughout the state, they're really into the fact that what you eat there is not Mexican food, it's not Tex-Mex, it's not California Mex, it's New Mexican cuisine, which is unique. And in that sense, I think New Mexican food is truly something distinctive. I mean, that like no other state has, except maybe Louisiana. But even Louisiana is sort of complicated, because there you have, you know, the really sophisticated Creole cooking of the cities and the very kind of country backwoods cooking of Cajun country. So Louisiana, I think, is distinctive too, but in a more complex way.
Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Very interesting. Well, Michael Stern, we so appreciate your time. We can't wait to talk to you again.
I'm thinking,
let's do it.
Michael, I'm thinking summer's right around the corner almost. You know, ice cream, road trip, get the old map out, Kimberly. Thank you so much for coming on, my friend. So great to talk to you again and follow you, of course. Make sure you check him out. It's Michael Stern, Road Food. Get the book. Get the go to the website. Put it on your iPhone. This is Jasper Miraboli.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live from Jasper's Kitchen, celebrating 11 years. Talking with people like Michael Stern of Road Food, right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
A road show. How about it?
I love it. And, you know, we've been threatening to do a road trip. We've got to do it.
I know. I keep saying Iowa. Come on. I have not been there.
And we've got to go to the State Fair with Danny this year.
How about
Danny
it?
And Carla and Terry and Sophie. It is a treat. And, of course, that butter cow. If you haven't seen a cow carved from butter, you haven't seen nothing yet.
Oh, I take a big bite out of them.
No, it's behind glass, Jasper.
Oh, we'll see. Because of people like me.
They have armored men standing
around it. I'd saute them. I melt them down. Melt that tail.
They use the butter for about 5 years, the same butter.
Oh,
so
does it get refrigerated taste?
It's not worthy of consumption.
Put a little garlic in it, no one will ever know.
Well, what a fun show.
It has been. And we have such great guests. I mean, friends coming by to see us. We're giving away gift certificates. Still, we're going to be here for another 10 minutes. But Mindy Riley came by with her husband, Dave.
That's right.
From Olive Tree.
I just used some of her balsamic vinegar the other night in some mushrooms to top a filet.
Hey,
it was fabulous.
We have a guest here right now coming up. I bet he's going to say the word. What's the word, sir?
San Giuseppe.
San Giuseppe. Thank you very much. He has a little accent there, Kimberly.
He does.
See, he said it the proper way. We're here at the Hen House Market doing a live remote celebrating San Giuseppe Day, road food, and more. So you got to come on by. And I'll tell you what else. That's right, Jasper's Restaurant. Thank you. Well, I look forward to cooking for you. Thank you so much, sir. See, isn't it great to have these guests here? That's why I like doing my live remotes, our live remotes.
Our live remotes. Change
right.
Change that pronoun.
So what's
Jasper
for dinner tonight, Kimberly? What are you cooking or what? I heard you talking about steak and a little mushrooms and sauteed.
I had a hen house filet that I did some nice portobello baby mushrooms, sauteed them with some balsamic vinegar from Olive Tree.
I get the fig balsamic and the blood orange olive oil.
Of course, you
got to
one up me.
No, I'm just telling you that what flavor do you use? Apple?
Just plain. I love it.
That's what's the word for that? So someone is just like plain.
Pedestrian?
Pedestrian. Pedestrian? Is that really like a
word? It is. I'm using that in
boy,
context.
Boy, my brother Sam would be proud of you teaching me something new again. Oh, boy, I don't get a break on this show.
And, you know, we're right across here at Hen House at Corinth from the Tuscan Salad Making Station.
You've asked me twice. Have they given you a sample yet? They don't have samples out yet.
Well, they don't.
Get that girl back. Oh, wait, there are samples there.
Mindy's going to bring us a sample.
Mindy Riley is bringing us. She's bringing us one sample. She doesn't
one
know.
One sample, yes.
She doesn't. Oh, there she goes.
Yeah, she doesn't know Kimberly doesn't share.
And you know, you get so you buy so many of these at Hen House, and then they give you a free small one.
Whoa, I mean, what do you get, like 10 a year free?
I'm serious. Mr. G and I have these at least once a week.
No kidding.
And you get a large one, and you can get two meals. Two meals.
Boy, that's so delicious.
They're tasty.
It really
so
is.
So delicious. So, Jasper, Beauty and the Beast, right? And they've
popcorn.
they've got a popcorn standoff
popcorn.
Today from 11 o'clock until 9 p.m. at the Miriam Cinemark.
Oh, I
it's
gotta
very
go over
fun.
There.
Yeah.
Is it free popcorn?
Police officers are, yeah, it's
well, you make a donation, $7. Look
exactly,
at that.
Yeah.
Go over and see them, my friends. Hey, Kimberly, it's always a great time with you on the show here.
We have so much fun.
We really do.
Yeah.
And talking food nonstop, all talk, all food, that's what it's all about.
That's what it is all about.
Well, we will see you. I will see you at the restaurant, of course. Come on by and see me. Some great supper club updates right now. You can go online at jasperskc.com.
Mm-hmm. Artichoke coming up.
Ooh, and of course, beer and wine. Mm-mm-mm. Kimberly, it's time for dinner. Let's go shopping right now.
Let's do it.
Take it away, my friends. This is Jasper Morabile.
And Kimberly Stern.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen every Saturday mornings at 11, right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Ciao.